Savior all the day long. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life.
You looks good when you're up.
Yeah, a little bit.
Good morning, HG family. How are you? Oh, we're going to start rocking now. I said, how are you? All right, I'm just going to invite everybody to stand up and come forward towards the altar. We're going to give our best that we can to Jesus this morning. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to start off in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that you're here ready to meet with us. Jesus, I thank you that right now in your name, people might have walked in with chains, but they're going to walk out with them broken, God, that nobody's going to leave this building the same. So, Jesus, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that is constantly transforming us and shaping us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, can I get a hand clap going? Glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise glorious. ready to get transformed by the presence of God? Oh, you don't sound too ready. I said, who's ready to get transformed by the power of God?
Heaven thundered and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith commanded and the mountains move. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you.
Sing Unstoppable God.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Unstoppable God.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Okay, hang on a minute. As I look out into the crowd, I don't really see a whole lot of people who look like they believe that their God is unstoppable. I'm not saying that's not what you believe or that's not what you don't believe. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it just doesn't look like it. If we really believe that our God is unstoppable, if we really believe that our faith is unshakable, if we really believe that anything that we want to pray for, we can accomplish it because the name of Jesus is behind us, then I want us to look happy, and I want us to look like we're celebrating in everything that we do. So we got to start over, okay? Hand clap. Good. Can I see a little bit of a jump? Little bit? All right, that looks a little bit better. Let's sing Unstoppable God.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
Come on, sing it out.
Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on.
Shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God,
come on, lift him up.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory grow on and on. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus,
our God, come on, give him a little bit more.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on.
Shall be done. Amen. impossible things. In your name they shall be done. That's the name of Jesus. That's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus gives access to things that this world can't. The name of Jesus gives access to the things that our degrees can't. The name of Jesus gives us access to the things that our parents can't, that our own strength can't. Jesus, you can take us places that we can't take ourselves simply by us using your name. Your name is so powerful.
Be lifted high, glorified, every song let it rise.
we could be anywhere right now. We could be still in bed. We could be going out to breakfast with somebody that we really miss. We could be watching TV right now, but there's no place we would rather be than right here in your love, God.
There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here.
Father, our hearts are after you this morning. Jesus, we desire to be where you are. We desire to be in your presence. So, Jesus, today we surrender a whole new level of our life. We say, Jesus, penetrate us, show us, reveal to us those, even those little nook and cranny areas, Father, that we've set aside from you. And God, we still control them, but Jesus, this morning, we want more. We're choosing to surrender every facet, God, every portion, every cranny, Father, that has been hidden even to everybody else. Jesus, that you may live through us and be glorified. We long for you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. And everybody in agreement said, I said, everybody in agreement said? Amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you say hello to at least five people you don't know. Don't pass them by. Don't go sit down. Go find five people you don't know and say good morning. Listen, they're as uncomfortable as you are, but go say hello this morning. Let them know that you love them, that you care about them, that they're important to your life.
Hey, family. Good morning. How's family doing this morning? Oh, come on. I got to hear some more shouts than that. I know you weren't, there's not many people there in first service, but you could be louder. How's family this morning? There we go. There we go. How's everybody doing? Did everybody get a chance to get up and meet somebody you didn't know? I'm seeing some heads shake. All right, listen, I did the same thing first service. I'm gonna actually encourage you to do the same. Before you leave the building, I want you to go and meet somebody that you didn't know. Now, that doesn't mean get up and move right now, but I want you, before you leave this building today, go and introduce yourself to somebody that you do not know, okay? That's family, right? Amen? Thank you. Awesome. All right, so listen. We want to welcome all the first-time guests of the house this morning. We're not going to embarrass you or call you out, but we do want to get you a packet and some information. So if you wouldn't mind just raising your hand up like so. Raise them up, raise them up. Do we have any first-time guests? Put your hand down in the back over there. Hey, put your hand down. You don't need to put it up. We got a packet for you. We want to thank you for joining us this morning. We have some more over here. Miss Julia, right over here to your right. Can we give our first-time guests a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for joining us. We have a guest reception following the service, right after the service. If you go out the doors on the other side of the wall to your right, we have a guest reception where you can meet the pastors and also the staff. We'd love to have you with us. We want to welcome all the live stream this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Can we give a hand clap for the live streamers? We love you. You're going to be blessed. Pastor has an awesome message. This is for you. This is for right now. So you stay tuned as the service continues. We've got a few things in your bulletin. You're going to see a lot of information, but we want to let you know of some things that we have coming up. Oh, by the way, this is my wife, Pastor. This is not Pastor Jody. This is Jody, my wife. Some of you don't see her with me a lot of times. I tell her she's stuck up because she says, you go and talk to everybody. And I say, well, you don't talk to anybody. So I guess we got to get that, you know, we're going to change it. So as of today, it's changed. Jesus is working. All right, so listen, next week, everybody say next week, we have the water baptism. We love water baptism. Jesus moves, and God, listen, there's an opportunity for God to move more, move you forward in relationship. This is your next step. If you have recently given your life to Jesus or rededicated your life, this is your next step. So we want to let you know, next week, sign up for water baptism. You can go out to the hub and sign up, or you can sign up online, histabernacle.com. Click on baptism and sign up next week. We'd love to have you to get water baptized. That's an awesome time for Jesus. Amen. All right, ladies, a couple things for you. We got the women's brunch coming up on May 13th. That's in 2 weeks, right? Really? Ladies, come on. I heard, woo! I can scream louder than you ladies. That's really sad. Ladies, women's brunch, May 13th. If you, thank you, thank you. Whew. Did you have to stand up for that? If you're interested in signing up for the women's brunch, please see Julia Render in the foyer. We'd love to have you sign up for that. Also, May 14th is Women's Day. All right, we're celebrating the women of the house. So every woman that comes to church will be getting a free gift. Amen. Everybody likes a free gift. And then lastly, June 8th through the 10th, there is a women's encounter. If you've yet to sign up for the women's encounter, these ladies come back changed and transformed. I think I might even just, you know, peek in myself and join the party. No? All right. Well, listen, there's only 6 spots left, ladies, 6 spots. So if you want to sign up, make sure you do it now. Come out to the foyer and see us at the hub or at the ministry center. We'd love to sign you up again. That's June 8th through the 10th. Thank you so much.
Amen. God is doing amazing things. We just got back with our staff from camp meeting with Ted Shuttlesworth in West Virginia. It was such a powerful and phenomenal time in the Spirit. So we are all like just ready to go this morning. So y'all have to wake up and get with us because we're ready for the Spirit and the power and the presence of God. One of the things that we saw while we were there, just one awesome miracle. There was a man that had come. A friend brought him. He's been blind, completely blind, for 2 years. Could not walk without the stick to see where he was going, to feel where he was going, and hold on to his friend in front of him. Brother Ted called him out, prayed over his eyes, and right in front of us, his eyes were opened, and he could see. It had been 2 years. It was awesome and exciting. You know, one of the girls commented on a post, you know, I love the Lord, but that stuff's fake. You know, it's not fake to Eric. Eric got his healing. We saw him the next day and the day after, walking around with no assistance, walking around with no cane, seeing things for the first time in 2 years. God is powerful, and he's able to do mighty miracles. It's not fake. Our RBI students just came back from their missions trip in Texas. They had over 50 salvations on their trip, and they had four notable miracles visible before their eyes. God is moving all over the place. The line crossers were out ministering to people yesterday and led 3 people to the Lord. And then our young people, we had 43 young people this weekend on an encounter retreat that truly had an encounter with Jesus. They will never be the same again. Those marked moments in a young person's life, I remember mine still today. That will stay with them forever. I know we're supposed to be in the time of tithes and offerings right now, so I will get on task. I'm just so excited about what God is doing. So the tithe and offering. Tithe is 10% of your income. And the Word of God says the tithe is holy to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. And so with that, He wants to prosper us. He says He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His children. It's not because He needs your money. Listen, His streets are paved with gold. His word says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. But He wants you to be obedient to His word because He takes pleasure in your prosperity. His word says, whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. His word says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So when we give our tithes and our offerings, we are entering into a supernatural, spiritual covenant with our God, with mighty promises, because He loves when His children prosper. If you're ready, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God, our promises, and they say, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings and enter into supernatural spiritual covenant with your finances with God. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us, or you can simply text to give.
Amen. Come on, Rhonda, Jean. Praise the Lord. We're excited that today you're here with us. And we are excited. We love the babies. How many of you love babies? Amen. This church has an abundance, abundantly above all you could ask or imagine. We're praying for Pastor Palco to have two more. And no. We have babies everywhere. And we love the babies, and we're going to have a dedication this morning. If I could have the family, Tina and your family, come on up. We want to do have the baby dedication for the children. We love it. Come on. Oh, look at the aunties coming. And every hi, auntie. Amen. Ma, don't make him feel uncomfortable. How you doing? You're so beautiful. Dude, you all right? Hey. You all right? Yeah. Are you a little nervous? Everyone's staring at you? Don't worry about it. Ma, just let Ma's hand come right here. Watch. Ma's hand come right there. There you go. No. We can't win. It's amazing when your life gets changed and you have your children. What most people don't realize is that the children that we're raising will be the church leaders of 15 years from down the street. How old are you, baby girl? How old are you? She's 9 years old. In 10 years, she should be one of the leaders of the church. Amen? So what happens is with baby dedication is what we're declaring is that we're setting our children's lives in order. Remember, baby dedication has nothing to do with the children. You can't baptize them into heaven. It's their own personal choice to serve God or not serve God. But what this means is a decision is being made from the parents and from auntie that we are going to make sure that these babies know the word of God, they're in the house of God, that they're going to learn how to pray, and that they'll be trained up to do the things of Jesus. Amen? Yeah, you like that, don't you? Amen. And so we're going to pray for them because the dedication is a declaration that I choose to make sure that my children know Christ. Not religion, but know Christ. Amen? Can I pray over you? Yes? Father, we just thank you for Sophia and Denali. Did I say it right? Denali. Father, I thank you for these two beautiful children. Lord, you love and you have great purpose for. Lord, we won't make him feel any more uncomfortable than he is. God, we thank you that he'll probably be one of the young men that will be doing things even in the background for the kingdom of God. Or maybe, Lord, you're going to fill him so full of your Holy Ghost, Lord, he might be the next preacher of this church. Who knows? Father, we just thank you that, Lord Jesus, you have a plan for them. And that, God, by your Spirit, you're going to make it occur. Lord, I just thank you for Tina. And I thank you, Lord, for the family. We declare, Jesus, that they will not be distracted or deterred. But, Lord, they will be focused on making sure that these children understand, flow, and know the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That they walk in your power. They walk in your presence. Lord, we'll know how to raise the dead. Lord, even speak over sick. And, Lord, see them healthy. That, Jesus, you'll move in their lives. In Jesus' name, we dedicate them to you. And we charge the family for Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hi, honey. You're growing up really quick. Here, mama. There's the dedication stuff. Can you give me a hand clap?
Can I have a slap? Can I have a slap? Give me a half a slap.
Thank you so much. Auntie, do I get a hug, Auntie? Praise the Lord. We had just a tremendous time down in West Virginia. Here, Nick. Just a tremendous time down in West Virginia with Brother Ted. And we want to encourage you, if you'd like to go next year, you're more than welcome to go. It's every, I believe it's the last week of April of every year. And it goes from, I believe, a Tuesday night all the way through a Friday night. He has some of the best speakers from the nation come in. And it is just a tremendous time for the staff. But you're more than welcome to go. And I would encourage you to start planning now for next year. It's down in West Virginia. Lots of mountains, lots of large ditches. Amen. So how many of you are excited about this series on the Why series? How many did it help you last week? Why do bad things happen to good people? Did it help you last week? How many of you had somebody ask you that question before? Why did bad things happen to good people? How many of you found that you knew somebody who actually had walked away from God or chose not to serve God because they saw something bad happen to somebody good? We all know somebody. Today I want to cover a topic that I know that every one of us have heard or maybe even uttered out of our own mouth. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? How many here have ever wondered that? Why hasn't God answered my prayers? How many of you know somebody that they aren't serving God today because of that very reason? They prayed, and they prayed, but nothing seemed to happen. They walked away from the Lord disappointed, discouraged, and they got something in their mind that was twisted and contorted. And today, I believe it's imperative for the church to address these issues. Why is that? Because if the church doesn't talk about it, then how are you going to be able to have an answer for somebody who says to you that when you are out in the community? Can you imagine you not having the answer and your friend comes up and says, you know, I don't understand why God doesn't answer my prayer. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and nothing seemed to happen. Does God hate me? A lot of people believe that God hates them. A lot of people believe that God doesn't want nothing to do with them. But it's important that we get into the Word of God to see God's perspective on why people's prayers don't get answered. Because when you understand it, when they ask you, you'll be able to address it. And when they understand the truth, everybody shout the truth. Come on, shout the truth. Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. When you understand the truth, you recognize who Daddy really is. You see, we serve a God who loves to answer prayer. Somebody shout, Daddy loves to answer prayer. He is so good, man. He loves answering your prayers. He loves being there when you call on him. He loves meeting your needs where nobody else can meet them. Your Father loves to answer your prayer. But what's happened is there are folks that have prayed, nothing's happened. So they've contorted a mindset that has said that God is evil. God is bad. God is not faithful. God doesn't care about me. Where is God? I don't understand why he's listening to everybody else, but he's not here. My prayers. Today I want to address it because when we understand, we ourselves are going to be able to have a stronger prayer life, but also when somebody else wonders, you can help them. Turn to someone and say, you're here to help somebody else. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says this, if you are willing and obedient, Jesus help us all, you shall eat of the good of the land. How many of you like to eat of the good of the land? Now, I remember I used to go to Bible college in Providence, Rhode Island. And every once in a while, you would see somebody literally rifling through a garbage can and pulling out old food that had been thrown away by somebody else. I remember the very first time I saw that, it was like, oh, that's nasty. Oh, that's nasty. But many times what's happened in the body of Christ and what's happened with people is they themselves spiritually are rifling through barrels of old food, trying to get some kind of leftover. But God doesn't have leftovers for you. God has the best for you. God wants you blessed and not cursed. God wants you to prosper and not to lose. God wants to increase you. God wants to have you come to an understanding how much he loves you and loves to answer your prayers. You see, when we don't understand this, then we look at God as having favorites. Well, God, you love this one more than you love this one. Or, God, you must like this individual more than you like me. Or, God, I don't understand what's wrong with me. And people get mad at God. I'm talking like people get bitter with God. They get so angry with him. I hate God. I don't like him. I don't want to go to church. I hate church. And they actually become an individual that inside they're consuming themselves with hatred and bitterness towards the one who created them, to the one who really truly would never hurt them, the one that wants to bless them, they've turned on because of a lack of understanding. How many of you recognize a lack of understanding can be very detrimental to your walk with God and just life in general? The lack of understanding is so sad. My people perish for the lack of understanding. God wants you to understand this morning that his desire is that you eat the good of the land, that you have the best of the land. Remember, you're his kid. Now, I don't know about you, but my baby girl, when my granddaughter comes up and she says, Bampi, I love you, Bampi. How many of you know that when they say I love you, they want something? My daughter called me the other day, and she was using my truck, and she said, hi, Dad. I went, oh, yeah, here it comes. She says, I really like your truck. I'd really like a blacked-out truck. Of course you'd like a blacked-out truck. Of course you want it. But you see, she started off just, she asked and she said, you know, she knows how to melt my heart. Now, I'm not buying her a truck, but she knows how to melt my heart. I will tell you, though, if I had the finances to buy her a truck, she'd have a truck. Because I want to make sure that my baby girl is taken care of. I love blessing her. I love being able to, when I'm down in Florida, hand her a bill that has more than just a one on it. I love being able to say, I love you, Corinne. Here you go. I love blessing. How much more our Heavenly Father wants to bless us? How much more our Heavenly Father wants to spoil us? How much more he wants to show up in your life and let you know that, hey, you are his favorite. How many of you know that you're God's favorite child? God so desperately wants to hear your prayers because God has created heaven in a very legal fashion. Many people don't realize that prayer is not just you sharing your heart, but prayer also is a legal place. Now, we all know that every kingdom, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Come on, shout it out loud. Seek ye first the and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, God loves to give you things. In that portion, it's not just talking about what you need for survival, but God wants to bless you with things. But the purpose is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Understanding the kingdom, every kingdom has to have a legitimate place, and every kingdom has to have a constitution. Every constitution is governed by laws, and you and I have rights. The moment you become a citizen of the kingdom of God, you know you now have rights within the kingdom of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12 that now he's given you the right to be called children of God. You see, God so desperately wants to hear your prayers, so desperately wants to answer your prayers, that he's created a legal system even in heaven, that as a child under the authority of heaven, washed in the blood of Christ, you have the right to come before the throne of God boldly, not because you're a nice person, but because you're a citizen. You see, we have something called the Bill of Rights in America, and we have that Constitution. If the Constitution is breached or the Bill of Rights is not given properly, then what we do is we go to court. We hire a lawyer, and we go to court, and we go before a judge, a righteous judge, and we say to the righteous judge, this is my stance, this is my legal rights, therefore I'm expecting a legal and correct answer, not according to your opinion, but according to the law. You see, as a believer, as sons and daughters of God, when we understand our rights as citizens, we can come before the throne of God boldly because we know that we have been given rights by God and his kingdom to stand before the throne of heaven, and he'll provide, give to us all that we need and all that we ask. God so desperately wants to make sure that we have this right that when Adam and Eve sinned, now, what's important for you to know is that God's passion is to bring heaven to earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. So God wants to bring heaven to earth. God wants you to experience heaven on earth. Listen now, that doesn't mean that heaven is on earth, but God wants you as a son and a daughter to experience his blessings on earth. We don't live the same way the world lives. We have more than they have. Listen, I'm not just talking goods. I'm talking you and I have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. We are children of the Most High King. This means that we have a peace that passes all understanding. And when hell starts licking our toes, we can call upon the name of the Lord and he shall save us. You see, with God for you, who can be against you? This is not about religion. This is about knowing God, walking with God. What I love about my Father is this. If you look at the garden, what you'll find about the garden is this. There was no sin. There was no sickness, and there was no poverty. There was no sin, there was no sickness, and there was no poverty. There was no lack in the garden. It wasn't until Adam and Eve decided to rebel against the Lord, commit sin, that they lost out what everything that Christ had provided in the garden. Now, I want to remind you what heaven provides. The Bible says in heaven, there is no sin, there is no sickness, and there is no poverty. And God has that as his nature. And that's why that verse that we speak is so powerful. That he said, I already quoted it, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because God wants to provide for you what Adam and Eve lost. That provision comes through prayer. You see, God created heaven to be a place that is activated through the power of prayer. Not just uttering little statements, not just saying little sayings, not just muttering when you have a problem in your life, but literally having a relationship with God so that you can come to him boldly and knowing that when you ask something, you not only have it as a father wants to give a son or give a daughter, but also in legal precedence, legal stance, you can call those things which are not as though they already are, and you can have what you ask in Jesus' name. You see, God loves to bless his babies. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That word boldly means be outspoken. Now, my daughter doesn't have a problem being outspoken. My granddaughter doesn't have a problem being outspoken. My granddaughter came up to me. This was more in the winter, and she did it every time. So I'm not telling something that's new. She came up to me. She says, Bampy, I want to see the chickens. Listen, I'm sitting in the man cave. I'm warm. It's cold outside. We have a special breeze through our neighborhood. And the moment it hits you, it chills you to the bone. Yet the chickens are out there walking around. And Bampy, I want to go see the chickens. And so what does Bampy do? Bampy gets up. He puts his boots on, puts his wool coat on, puts his hat on. She then wants my hat, so I give her my wool hat, and then I put her coat on and her boots. I put her on my hip. We walk outside. It's cold outside. Walk outside. Watch the chickens. She wants to play with the chickens, chase the chickens. So I put her down, and I'm standing there, and she's chasing the chickens. Do I want to be there? No. But my granddaughter said, Bampy, let's go see the chickens. You see, if you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father wants to bless you? We've got to get out of our mind that God is cruel. We've got to get out of our mind that God doesn't love us. We've got to get out of our mind that Daddy doesn't want to provide for us. We've got to get out of our mind that Daddy doesn't want to spoil us. You see, that's the mentality of religion, but it's not the truth of the Word of God. John chapter 14, 13 and 14 says this, and whatever you ask in my name, that I might do for you. What does that say there? Will what? Will do. No, let's read that one more time, make sure we get that right. Whatever you ask in my name, that's the name of Jesus. That's the legal name that you stand with. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. At the name of Jesus, Father God moves. Why? Because that's the name that he gave to move on behalf of earth in heaven. And he said, whatever you ask in Jesus' name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything, what's anything? Come on, what's anything? Anything. If you ask anything in my name, I might, if you're lucky enough, pull it off. Oh, it doesn't say that. I what? I will do it. You see, that's the exciting part of our Father. Our Daddy longs to. Our Daddy loves to. You don't need to make him. You don't need to try to twist his arm. He just looks at you and he smiles. The Bible says that our Father in heaven spins and dances over us. He says that you're the very apple of his eye. You see, when he sees you, he just smirks. He bursts a button on that holy robe. Glory to God. Because he loves you and with an everlasting love. And in that, we recognize that our Daddy wants to bless us. He doesn't want to torture, torment, and try to displease us. Can I hear an amen? 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15 says this. Now this is the confidence that we have in Christ, that if we ask anything, what's anything? I said, what's anything? What's a pair of shoes? What's a car? What's a spouse? You already got one. You got one. Had to say that. If you ask anything in my name, what's going to happen? The Bible says this, and it's so powerful, yet it's so true, that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. You see, God is waiting to hear you. God is waiting to hear your voice. God is waiting to hear your prayers. Contrary to what so many people believe, because they've not learned or known how to pray, they sit back and they wonder, I wonder if God's hearing me. But the Bible says he can't wait to hear you. He can't wait to hear you pray. He can't wait to hear your petition. He just longs to hear your voice. Why? Because he paid the ultimate price that we can have what Adam and Eve lost, and that is a relationship with God again. That is intimacy with God, and that is the ability to bring heaven to earth, what they had in the garden. God wants to restore to you. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, what's whatever? Whatever. We know
will have the petitions that we've asked of him. You see, this is the powerful part. Many of us, we ask too small. Many of us, we've been taught by religion not to ask too big. Well, you know, I don't want to be greedy. Well, you know, I don't want to ask for too many things. Well, maybe God doesn't have enough in heaven for me. There's nothing that God doesn't have available for you. You have absolute access. And if God has it, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You see, no matter what is on this planet, God has it available to you. But many believers will never believe because they've always been taught that God is some ogre, that God is this cheap God sitting up in heaven, and I'm going to give you just a little bit, but not too much, or maybe, boy, I don't even like you. I'm not giving you any. Hope you survive. That is not the mentality of God in any way, shape, or form. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." I love this thing. "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." You see, it doesn't matter what you're believing for. God says he'll withhold nothing from you. If you're walking uprightly, if you're living for him, you're walking in him, you have a relationship with him, you're obeying him, there's nothing that he won't give you. He is that father that has it all. You know, some of us had dads. When we went to our daddy, he didn't have anything. Now, honest, when Corinne came to me, she says, "Dad, I want a blacked out pickup truck." Listen, I would love, like I said, I want to give her a blacked out pickup truck. I don't have a blacked out pickup truck. I don't have that kind of money sitting in the bank. But you know what? I know one who has. Now, I remember when my mother-in-law, she came to us one day. She said, "I'm believing God for a little red car, sports car." Now, you needed to know my mother-in-law. She was a stout little 5'2" woman. She had gray hair, and she didn't have a lot of it. Am I lying? But she wanted a little red sports car. And she wanted black wheels with a spoiler on the back. I remember she came to us. She says, "I've been praying for this. I'm believing that God's going to give me this car." And so we just started praying with her. She didn't run around tell everybody, trying to manipulate anyone. And her son, who never had money, got money back in his taxes, and without her knowing, went out and bought her a little red sports car with a spoiler and black wheels. And that day, when she walked out, I remember seeing her face. She said, "Thank you, Jesus." You see, it wasn't her son that provided. My God provided for her son to provide. "Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give unto your bosom." You see, it's so exciting to see that your Father hears your prayers and longs to give you what you ask for. So let's get into it. We've almost got through to the beginning. So why does God not answer prayer? I'm going to give you reasons, and you need to write them down. You need to understand them. We're going to work through them. The number one reason why God does not answer prayer is this. If you are not born again, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you have no legal right to be heard from God. "Well, Pastor, that's not nice. That's not nice." Listen, we live in a Christian world today that sits back and teaches that there are many ways to heaven. But the Bible says, Jesus made the declaration, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by." Nobody comes to the Father but by. "There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved." It's not many ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. And you see, what's happened is we live in a world where even the believers, I should say, the Christians, the denominations, and those who carry a religious tag actually believe that there are many ways to heaven. Therefore, you don't actually have to give your heart to Christ. And I want you to know today that that is a lie. The number one reason why prayers are not answered for people is that they're not born again. When a person does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God does not hear their prayers. The only prayer God has to hear from a sinner is when they're asking Him to be their Lord and Savior. Now, this makes people very uncomfortable because their mindset is, well, God has to hear everybody's prayer. If He's a good God, He has to hear everybody's prayer. But I want to remind you that prayer is not just a factor of a father and a child, but prayer is legal. If you are not a citizen of a country, you do not have the rights of the country. You can carry the Constitution. You can quote the Constitution. But if you are not a citizen, you do not have the right to be part of the country's laws. You are a foreigner. You are a sojourner. Many people don't like to hear this, but this is the truth of it all. That the majority of prayers that are not answered are usually because somebody did not know Christ. And when they got in trouble, they called out and said, God, where are you? And then God said, no, where are you? Well, if you're really a good God, you'll answer my prayer. No. You see, if you're going to be a believer, you've placed yourself in the position, I'm not talking just spiritual position, but in a legal position to have the right to stand before God boldly. When the Bible declares in John chapter 1, verse 12, that when we got saved, He gave us the right to be called children of God. The Bible says that we are part of the household of faith. The Bible says we are citizens of the kingdom of God. When we become a citizen, we have the Constitution. We have the rights, the Bill of Rights of Heaven. We have the right to come before the throne of God boldly. Hebrews chapter 4. We have the right to come before the throne of God boldly. Why? Because it is a legal stance. We have the right to use the name Jesus because that gives us legal precedence. So when a sinner sits back and says, I prayed, God didn't answer me, I don't believe in Him. The easiest answer is this. Do you know Him? Well, I don't really know Him. I'm not a church person. This has nothing to do with being a church person. Church can't save you. What saves you is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, having your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. That's what makes you a new man and a new woman, not the church you go to or the preacher that stands behind the pulpit. There's no other name under heaven which all you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus, not a church, not a religion, and not a preacher. Can I hear it? Amen. So when you stand before the Lord, you stand in that legal posture. So when a sinner sits back and says, listen now, I prayed to God and He didn't answer me, the answer is so valid and powerful because it's legal and relational. You don't have the right to stand before Him. Listen, it's almost like Christmas morning, right? Christmas morning, you walk over to your neighbor's house. You walk in the front door with your pajamas on. And you have Mickey Mouse pajamas. You walk into the front door, they're taking stuff from under the tree, and you said, where's my presents? And they said, what? They said, listen, I want presents. In fact, I sent you a note the other day in the mail. Didn't you get it? I want a brand new car. And they look at you and they say, you're not even part of this family. Go home. Your mom and dad will take care of that. You see, this is what happens in the spirit. In the spirit, we go to God. People that don't know Jesus as their Savior, they go to God and say, hey! And God says, hey! Go to your daddy. You see, when you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says that your father is the father of disobedience. You see, you are not, there are only two masters, and that is you're either following the devil or you're following God. Now, I'm not saying you run around a pentagram naked, sacrificing children in the middle. But you see, what happens is this. When you do not know Christ, whether you like it or not, you are serving the devil. You are serving and living the very nature of your father. And that's not the father of heaven, but it's the father that's been cast out of heaven. And his name is Lucifer. He is called the devil. And he has only one design, and that is to steal, kill, and destroy. And it is to have his own pleasures being taken care of. You see, when a person does not know Christ, they've got their own father to go to. We don't like to hear that. That makes everybody uncomfortable. But the Bible's so very clear about this. I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 9, verse 31. This is what the Bible says. Everybody shout, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. If you can't spell, just say, John, chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Well, I thought that was just your opinion. No! I don't get an opinion. That's next week's sermon. Why doesn't my opinion matter in morals? It's next week. The Bible's so powerful because Jesus didn't mix words here. He said, listen, now we know. What's the word know mean? Duh. I got this thing. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. That means if a person's not born again, means if a person does not have a relationship with God, God doesn't hear them when they pray. And you could not like that answer all you want, but that's why you might not have gotten an answer when you prayed before. Well, I was sincere. It doesn't matter if you're sincere. You don't have the legal right to go there. I cannot go to a different country, walk into... Listen now, we do a lot of ministry in Mexico. I do not have the right to walk into the mayor's office of Campeche. I do not have the right to walk into the governor's office of Campeche, Mexico, and say, I want this, 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 and this. Well, I can do it. But you know what he's going to say? Out! Why would he say out? Who am I? I'm not a citizen of the country. I have no personal relationship with him. And yet I'm trying to tell him what he should do for me. And this is where a lot of sinners are. They get all mad at God because God's not answering him. And God said, listen, I know where I am, but where are you? I paid for you to be able to come to me. I paid everything. I gave my only begotten son. My son died on Calvary's tree. He was beaten to a pulp. He was pounded down. He was hung on that tree. He died and on the third day rose again so that you would have the right to be called a child of God, so that you could come before me boldly. I gave that to you. I provided that for you. But you'd rather live your own life, so therefore go to your own father. The number one reason that people's prayers aren't answered is because the people that are complaining the most are usually those that have not been born again. And they can't understand why God's not hearing them. He's not hearing them because he doesn't have the right to hear them. Because the only prayer that he has the responsibility to hear is the repentant one. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So the Lord's eyes are open to the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus. And his ears are open to their prayers. You see, God wants to talk to you. God wants to hear you. God wants to answer your prayer. He said it right here. But listen to this. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So those who want to live their own lifestyle, anti-Christ lifestyle, it's amazing to me that they get mad at God when he don't answer them. He doesn't answer them because he can't hear them. They don't have relationship and they don't have legal standing. The question for you today is, are you born again? You see, we're not trying to boost up membership. It's not a membership. We don't have a membership in this church. What the goal is to get more people to know God so that they can have a personal relationship with him, so that they can come before the throne of God boldly, and God can finally bless them with the blessings that he's had waiting for them for their whole life. But they rather live their life than live his life, but God's life is better than their life. And when we finally surrender, the blessings of the Lord will chase us down. They'll trip us up. They'll come on now. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. Why do we quote that? Because that's the word of the Lord for those who are his children. That's the word of the Lord that God has for you, his babies. He longs to hear your voice. He longs to put his ear towards you. Number two, some people don't. Now I'm talking about believers now. So the first one is about unbelievers. God doesn't hear the prayers of a sinner. But if you are saved, you have been born again, you have been blood washed. How many of you, since you've been saved, had God not answered a prayer, one of your prayers? Sometimes God doesn't answer your prayer out of ignorance. Not his ignorance. Because you might not know how to pray. You see, even the disciples had to be wise enough to ask how to pray. Because there's two types of prayer. There's a prayer that is relational with God. That's you and him talking. That's you sharing your heart with him. That's you having a relationship with him. But the other type of prayer is prayer to get certain work accomplished. Now, many people have come up to me and said, Pastor, will you pray for my loved one? Usually it's a husband or wife. I want them to come back to me. And I look at them and I say, I want them to come back to you too. God wants them to come back to you too. But they have a personal will. You see, God will not override the personal will of an individual. And even though God can push them, God can stir them, God can direct them, they still have the right to say no. But an ignorant believer gets mad at God because God didn't answer their prayer. Listen. God will not go against the will of man. As a believer, this is why we have rock solid faith one and rock solid faith two. And this is why we have step one and step two at His Tabernacle Family Church. Why? Because we don't want you to be ignorant. We want you to know how to pray. You see, there's different types of prayer. Have you ever seen a builder? Anybody here a builder in the room? You've built houses before? Yeah, right there. Do you use a screwdriver only? No. Can you imagine if it was the day that you had to build a house and you brought a screwdriver to work? That's all you brought. And so you have a 16-penny nail that's got to be driven through two boards, and you sit there with the head of the screwdriver. Are you going to get that done? Possibly. You might break the screwdriver. Your arm might fall off. The truth is that there are different tools in the toolbox called prayer to get certain types of things accomplished in the presence of the Lord. Because God has ordained, because God has created prayer to be the legal matter and the legal way that we stand before his throne and bring our petitions to him. If you don't know how to, you've got to make sure you get a lawyer, amen? The lawyer is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the word of God is what Christ follows. You see, Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. God will not go against his word. So the more we know his word, the more we step in learning how to pray, the more we can accomplish things. How about the prayer of agreement? When you need someone to agree with you, you grab a hold of someone's hands that will stand with you in faith. Faith calls those things which are not as though they already are. You see, when you understand how to walk, not in ignorance, but in understanding, you can make something happen that could not happen in the flesh, happen in the spirit, and manifest right here on this earth. God has this plan for you, and God wants this for you. Can I hear an amen? There's a prayer of agreement, the prayer of binding and loosing, the prayer of faith. Some Christians do not get their prayers answered because they don't know how to pray. They're ignorant people. And I'm not talking mean ignorance. They just don't know. I've never seen Burger King hire somebody and say, there are the burgers, good luck. They sit you down, you watch how many videos? They then take you out and they show you how to do it. Why? Because they don't want you to burn the burgers. What's their whole job in life? Burgers. How do they make their money? Burgers. So what do they want to accomplish? Good burgers. You cannot accomplish a good burger with ignorance. They have a process. They have a process in how they process the burgers to get it continually and consistent so the customer will come back one day not being burned, the next day being too raw. But they have a consistent process that they placed in order, and they've got it in a rule book, and they expect you to follow that to make the burgers. Yet we as believers just kind of wing it with God. He's got process, and process has the ways to accomplish what you need to be done. You see, when you're facing an impossible situation, you don't need someone to whine with you. You need someone to stand with you. When you're going through a hard time, you need someone who will agree in prayer with you, binding and loosing and seeing God move the supernatural things. You need God to do what no man can accomplish. And he said, this is how you do it, through the prayer of faith. When you stand in the prayer of faith, I'm going to move a mountain. If you stand to this mountain, be thou removed with the cast of the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. You see, it's time to recognize that prayer moves God, but you better learn how to pray if you're going to move God. So some people's prayers aren't answered. Number one, because they're not his child. Number two, because they're ignorant. This is the worst one of them all. This number three. Everybody say number three, I hate. Some people's prayers are not answered because the husband's not right with the wife. All right, let's move on. My wife likes this one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise. Hold on, my iPad died, so I'm jumping to my phone. Ooh, here we go. Oh, I was trying to, maybe if the phone didn't come up, we'd have gotten free. Hallelujah. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. I remember I've had so many husbands come to me and say, I just can't understand my wife. And I look at them and say, neither can I. But we do our best. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, talking about wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. That's the best part of the verse. As the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know what this says? Insurrection. Man is horrible. He doesn't say this to the woman. He says this to the man. Why? Because we're supposed to be the spiritual heads of our house. We're supposed to be the ones leading the wife spiritually, not the wife leading us spiritually. The Bible says that men's prayers are hindered, husbands' prayers are hindered when they're not right with their wives, when they're not in order with their lives, when they're not honoring their wives. God is saying, husband, your prayer will be hindered, will be stopped when you're not in order. Now let's move on from that one quickly. Hallelujah. Number one reason that prayers aren't answered is that if you're a sinner, God doesn't need to hear your prayer. Number two, if you are a believer, maybe you don't know how to pray. You're being ignorant. You just don't know how to pray. Number three, husbands, if you're not right with your wives, the Bible says your prayers will be hindered. Number four, the number fourth reason is this, is that you might be living in sin. You might be living a life of disobedience. Now, it's so important for us all to realize that when you were not saved, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, according to Ephesians chapter 2, you had a father, and the Bible calls him the father of disobedience, and that is Lucifer. You have his very nature. It's normal for a sinner to sin. Can I hear an amen? When a sinner F's me off, it doesn't bother me. Why? Because sinners sin. Why are you shocked? When sinners cheat, it's no big deal. Why? Because that's what sinners do. When sinners lie or cheat or steal, why are you shocked? That's their nature. It's the nature to do that. But when you're born again, you have a new nature. The Bible says that your new nature is called divine. That literally when you get saved, when you give your heart to Jesus, that your spirit is now possessed by God's spirit himself. That means this, and that means that you no longer are a sinner. You now are a son or daughter. In that nature change, the Bible makes a declaration that you're no longer a slave to sin, which means you and I don't have to sin. We choose to sin. Now, the Bible makes a declaration that if you are a person that's out there sinning, that if you had accepted Christ, but you're in a backslidden condition, you're not right with God because you're living in sin. Now, what do we mean by living in sin? We all know that we have these different things that trip us up. And, man, sometimes you fall on your head and you got to get back up. Can I hear an amen? Always good to get back up. Failure's not falling. Failure's not getting back up. Amen? Jesus said, if you sin, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But some believers, I'm going to help you question your salvation here for a second, will live sin, will live in a sin. One of the most prominent sins we see in the body of Christ is people shacking up. Shacking up and shagging up. Well, we love each other. Well, you know what? If you love each other that much, get married. Lady, if he wants to sleep with you, make him buy it. Why in the world? No, I can't say that. I'm going to behave myself. Jesus, seeing a miracle right now. If you are a person that's living together, and I'm talking having sex together, then you've got to ask your question. You know it's sin, you know it's wrong, but you continue to do it, you are a sinner. You're not saved, so don't be shocked when your prayers don't get answered. You're going out getting drunk every weekend during the weekday. You know it's sin, but you just want to live your own life. Don't tell me what to do. That's sinning. That's not you've sinned. That's not. There's a difference between lifestyle. The Bible says that your old sinful nature has been destroyed. That the Bible says that you're no longer a slave to sin. Therefore, you don't have to sin. You choose to sin. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And so what happens is this. If you're living in that nature, you cannot be shocked when God stops answering your prayers. Selah. Well, I don't understand. I'm a good Christian. Listen now. If God's convicted you of a sin and you're refusing to obey him, then try that with your parent. Remember in those days? Did you ever get your hiney tanned? Mine is like still calloused. I remember telling my mom no. My mom just said, that's really unwise of you. And she would say, wait till your father gets home. Go to your room. You wait in your room. And then you hear, clunk, clunk, clunk. You hear him coming up the old New England steps. When he hit the top step, you prayed, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Daddy would come in and he would say, all right. He pulled his black belt off. He said, bend over the bed. One time I stuffed it with books, thinking that he wouldn't figure it out. He laughed, and then I took the books out. He didn't laugh. I didn't laugh after that. But there's certain things you just didn't do. You didn't eat my father's, you didn't eat my father's maple walnut ice cream. It just wasn't wise. You see, if you know you're sinning, you know it, and you're continuing in it, you need to question yourself. Am I really serving God? Am I really born again? You're going to start seeing your prayers not answered. Oh, that's your opinion. All right, let's read it. Here we go. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. His ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. Let's read it, the Message Bible. Ready? Look, listen. God's arm is not amputated. He can still save. God's ears are not stopped up. He can still hear. There's nothing wrong with God. The wrong is in you. Your wrong-headed lives ceased. Your wrong-headed lives caused the split between you and God. Your sins have gotten between you so that he doesn't hear you. Listen, if you're living in sin, stop. Let's practice that again. If you're living in sin, stop. Oh, I can't stop. Oh, I bet you could. I bet you could. The consequence isn't big enough yet. Because when the consequence is big enough, you'll be smart enough to stop soon. I've told the story before, but I remember when I was trying to break swearing in high school. Timothy Pevere and I made a pact. And that was, when one of us sins, the other one punches us so hard in the arm, as hard as we can. And no big deal, right? I didn't swear a lot. Tim did. Every time he swore, pow! And one time I cussed, and he went, pow! And I went, ooh. That wasn't worth it. Is it worth God not hearing you any longer? Is it worth it? It might feel good real quick, baby, but, you know, it's never that long. It's never that long. But all of a sudden, your prayers aren't being answered. All of a sudden, God's ear is shut up to you. Man, I'll tell you something. I learned quick. I'm a quick learner. Anybody else be a quick learner? I think to go around the mountain once is just life. Going around it twice is getting stupid. Going around the same mountain five times, you're dumb. You need a bat. Foosh. We've got to come back to the understanding that sin separates us. Sin will stop your prayers being answered. So the number one reason why prayers aren't answered is because a person is a sinner. They have no right to be heard by God. Number two, a believer. They are ignorant. They don't know how to pray. They have good intentions, but they don't know what tool to use in the toolbox. So they're not seeming to get anything done. Number three. Okay, let's skip number three. Oh, okay. Husbands not being right with our wives. Number four. What's number four? Disobedience, living in sin. And number five, sometimes we ask amiss. What do you mean amiss? No, I'm not talking a lady. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you might that you may spend it all on your pleasures. The word amiss simply means inappropriately. I see people praying inappropriate all the time. My favorite one is this. Ready? They come to me and they go like this. Pastor, I need you to agree in prayer with me. And I said, well, what's going on? They said, Mega Ball is $500 million. And I want you to agree with me that when I win, I'm going to tithe it. And I always want to ask a question. I've never done it, but I've always wanted to. Do you tithe now? Because if you don't tithe off a dollar, which is 10 cents, don't really think you're going to tithe off of 500 million. Amen. Come on now, because that's a matter of the heart. I had a woman come up to me one time. She was in the church. She said, Pastor, I was in prayer and I asked the Lord for ministry and he told me to leave my husband and my children and to go full time into evangelistic ministry. I said, oh, heard the wrong voice on that one, honey. Because God will never go against his word. Some people ask amiss or they ask inappropriate things that are not God's will, that are not God's desire, that are not God's plan. And thank the Lord he doesn't give it to you. Amen. How many times you mess your own life up? Keep counting. You know, it's time to recognize that God doesn't answer some prayers because you ask amiss, because you ask inappropriately, you ask wrongly. So the number one reason that people don't get their prayers answered is? Oh, we're going to have to start all over. Okay, it's 12:31. We're going to preach this all from the beginning one more time. The number one reason people don't get their prayers answered is they're serving their own God. Number two, if you're a believer, the number one reason is ignorance. Number three, husbands. Boy, that came really quick from you in the front row. Number four, disobedience, sinful lifestyle. Number five, we ask amiss. Now, I just want to end with this right now. This is so powerful because I'm concerned that some people really believe that God is mean and that he's cruel. And some of you might be the people, maybe somebody brought you. And the reason they brought you is because they've heard you say a statement before. Why doesn't God ever answer my prayer? I don't like him. I want you to hear me now because this is very powerful. It's very real. And that is God longs to give you even the desires of your heart. Those things that you've always wanted, those things that you've always dreamed about, God puts even dreams in you to believe for things that you never even thought that you could ever accomplish. I want you to know that God has greater plans than you could ever think of. The Bible says he wants to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or even imagine in your own brain. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your heart cannot even conceive the great things that God has planned for those who love him. I want you to realize that God has great things for you, that God wants to bless you with every desire of your heart that's biblical. And he wants you to prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. God doesn't want you to live a destitute lifestyle in the flesh. He doesn't want you to just barely make it by or be a survivor. God has greatness for you, but that greatness comes through the power of prayer. When you and I are in the right position to say, God, I'm living a life of obedience. And as I obey God, I know that there's nothing you will withhold from me. You see, today, if you'll obey God, you'll eat of the best of the land. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Today, I challenge you as a believer. If today you're here and you don't know Christ, maybe you're watching by live stream, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today is your day. Today you can go from being just somebody that God will never hear to being a son and a citizen so that you will be able to go before God's throne boldly and God will bless you abundantly. But that's a decision. That's your decision. Mom and daddy can't make it for you. Boyfriend, girlfriend can't make it for you. Husband, wife can't make it for you. That's your choice. I choose to be in relationship with God. Today, I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. Today, maybe you do not know Jesus as your Savior. Listen, I'm not condemning you. I'm not telling you're a bad person. I'm telling you're a sinful person. Our church world today, we don't like to talk about sin. It's uncomfortable. It makes people uncomfortable. I don't want to go to that church. They talk about sin. Thank God they talk about sin. Because unless we repent from sin, we're lost. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know that God wants to give you the right to call him Daddy. He wants to give you the right to call him Father, Abba Father. That's relationship. And then you become a citizen. And as a citizen, when you go before God's throne, you have authority. Because the Constitution declares it. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, we had 9 people raise their hand for salvation in first service. I'm believing that today, heaven's going to keep shouting. Why? Because today, if you're lost, you're in sin, Christ will save you, change you, give you purpose and destination. And his plans are phenomenal. He has great plans for you. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. I'm not going to beg anybody. Thank you, sir, very much. I appreciate it. You can put your hand back down. Young lady in the back, thank you very much. I see your hand. You can put that right back down. Is there anyone else? Anybody else that wants Jesus as their Savior? 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave with me. I'm going to meet you right here. Well, why? The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before the Father. So I want you to grab the person that brought you, and I want you to meet me right here, right now. Just come right out of your chair. Get a holy boldness in your life. Meet me right here, right now. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Jesus is going to change their life. They'll never be the same again. I'm very proud of you, man. Very proud of you. You'll never be the same again, man of God. Young lady, very proud of you. These two beautiful ladies are going to lead you to Jesus. They're going to take you right over there. We're not going to get you in a corner and like stay on stuff. We're just going to pray with you. We're going to get your Bibles. And we want to get you right where you're going to keep growing. Because we believe that God's plan for you is phenomenal. You're going to give your heart to Jesus too? Yes. I love draining hell and filling heaven. Amen. Amen. So why don't you follow them right now? Can you give another hand clap? Hallelujah. Congratulations, man. Hallelujah. Now, what I love is that we don't have a membership here, so they're not joining a membership class. They're making sure that they're not sinners any longer. Amen. How many of you been washed by the blood of Jesus? How many of you love the Lord? Father, I speak blessing over the people of this house in Jesus' name. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. God, I know how I stand before you. I know that I have legal precedence and rights, not only, God, as a son, but also, Father, as you have given me responsibility as a shepherd. I declare over these sheep, God, blessing and not cursing. I declare no sickness has a right in their homes. I declare in the name of Jesus that, Father, whatever they touch shall prosper, and that, Lord, they'll lead many souls to Jesus Christ, even this week for the glory of heaven. Lord, fill this house for your glory. Lord, let us take back this region that the devil cannot have sin win. Oh, God, have the devil in control, but heaven will reign in Jesus' name. And everybody declared, amen. For all those that are our guests, we have a guest reception right out on your right-hand door, my left hand. Go right down the hallway. We'd love to meet you. Have a great day. Serve Jesus with all of your heart.